Okay, so maybe getting drunk and wrestling with an Underdark cow isn't the best use of time. But if we're going to see this through, we needed better equipment, and I had some time to kill. Plus, it was a good distraction. I keep flip-flopping between being so goddamn confident we'll save the tale and being terrified we're walking into an icy grave. But all that'll have to wait till after today's short quest, long rest.
Also, Maeve Battlehammer invited us to dinner.
Which one's that?
The one that
like a lot of them around
the
here.
One that bet on you.
Oh. Well, that's nice of her. She's probably not too happy with me, though, because,
apparently,
you know,
she's a Battlehammer Battlehammer.
Oh, not just, like, just a Battlehammer, because we understand most of these people are Battlehammers.
No, like one of the, you know, the big ones.
Ooh. Well, that's fancy.
So?
What do you suppose she wants?
To have dinner. I don't know.
Oh, nobody ever just wants to have dinner with us. We get taken to dinner, and then all of a sudden we're, like, in a cave, or in a dungeon, or what was the last one? What did we do for these guys? It was the druid. The one druid that had all the glass, the evil glass shit. Mm-hmm.
The Shardolin.
That's it, Shardolin. I always forget the name of that with Ruby.
Yeah, it's interesting. You forget the names. You know, fought a dragon made of it.
Was that what it was made out of?
Yes. What did you forget? Never mind.
A lot has happened. I mean, let's just take a step back. We've had a lot of things happen. Remembering all the names of everything. It's a difficult thing.
Where's Dreamer? He's going to look around. Where's Dreamer? Yeah.
There was mention of the Temple of Morden possibly having woodworkers.
Did you literally just leave?
Yep.
We look around so he's not there. It's great.
Why does he just wander off?
It's a great transition. Like, where's Dreamer? Then it just hard cuts to fucking him standing in the temple.
He's fucking gone.
We should really put a bell on him.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I could steal Bess's. You know what? Maybe I should try to get Bess again. And if we get her, I can take the bell off her and put it on Dreamer. No, I mean, it's just another take another shot at it. You don't think I could do it?
No.
You could make $200 more?
I would make that bet.
Okay, fine. Let's go find Dreamer.
We'll see you later, Maeve.
Alrighty. Dreamer, as you are wandering the warrens of the dwarves, and even though you're underground, the ceiling is oftentimes higher than 20 feet above. It's almost like if you were to be walking down narrow city streets with apartments on either side, people have built their dwellings into the rock walls. You know, you often have like two or three essentially apartments stacked on top of one another. People living near the ceiling even as you're walking through these very narrow streets. Knowing you, I have to ask, find the Temple of Morden?
There's probably an hour of wandering, not finding it, and I'm sure people are giving me weird looks, so the next person that gives me a weird look, I'm just like, hi, could you point me towards the Temple of Morden?
The person that gives you a weird look, kind of a middle-aged dwarven woman, escorting a pair of small children and looking very harassed by them, gives you a very hasty, you go down that street there and turn left and it's another two blocks up.
Thank you.
You're one of ours.
You have something similar to me?
No, I was asking if someone made you. You're very, very well made. It's very interesting.
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck.
Thanks again.
She gives you an awkward, sort of distracted wave and starts corralling these two very young, rambunctious dwarven children up the street.
Do they have beards, the children?
That's a really good question.
Peach fuzz, maybe?
You know what? I want to ask Krellick, at what age would you say you grew your first beard?
The ripe old age of 4.
Born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Nice.
Probably early teens, like maybe, actually, probably 12. I'm going with 12.
Okay, 12.
Okay, yeah, they're not old enough to have grown beards yet.
12, they go through what's called the beardening.
Okay.
Where their face is rubbed with mud from the mountain.
Dreamer, eventually you do find your way to what appears to be a temple of Moradin. And you know that it is a temple because the ceiling as you approach starts sloping higher and higher overhead until you're under a dome that is about 50 feet high. And every surface above you is carved with images of dwarves at work. Forging, smithing, all the words there are for it. And this is just like a courtyard in front of the temple. On either side, from floor to ceiling of this 20-foot high entrance, a stone doorway, is a statue of the dwarven father of the forge, Moradin. Both of them looking very stern and imposing, protective over the dwarves that would gather in this courtyard. The doors of the temple are open, and you can see people sort of passing in and out regularly.
I will make my way to the entrance.
No one stops you, and when you step inside, you can see and hear immediately that off to one hall, there appears to be another craft shop. You know, people, you know, working in worship of Moradin. To your left is a quieter section, and you see some people going into the doorways on that side. Not really sure what they're doing over there. And all down the center of this temple, there's at first a very large open space for gathering. You could see some priests standing around, talking to individuals or small groups. And beyond them, an even larger statue to Moradin, placed in front or behind an altar. And there are rows of pews all facing that direction.
I think I'll make my way up the center to start, looking up at the statue.
Now, the ones to either side of the temple's entrance were very imposing. Like, they're here as guards. The one in the center here, the sort of main statue, seems to depict Morden's more fatherly side, where even though he does have, you know, the sense of sternness exuding from him, he is also reaching out a hand as if in beckoning to his flock. And in his other fist is a hammer, not a war hammer, but a blacksmith's hammer, as if inviting people to learn the craft of the dwarves. You're about 3/4 of the way up the aisle towards the altar when an acolyte in the robes of Moradin with an anvil amulet comes and approaches you. It's kind of younger dwarf. Hi, can I help you with anything? You seem a little... And he bites on his lip as if he were going to say lost. We don't have many visitors here, aside from members of the flock. Can I help you?
Dreamer will look down. Yes, I had a question about perhaps having something made by some of your craftsmen, but then... Another question occurred to me as I entered.
Well, we're often people are come here seeking answers to their questions. Is it something I can help you with?
I have a friend who followed Moradin and
nice.
Believes she can't come back. And I want to help her find her way back and prove that she's not lost.
This acolyte seems to... He bobs his head, sort of understanding, taking in your words, and my lessons have... I've only recently joined the temple myself, but I would like to help you as the priests are currently busy. And he's having a very awkward time right now. You're very much getting with that massive insight of yours. Very new to this. And as you're looking more closely at him, You can see this is an individual that he's very muscle bound underneath, and not in the way that the blacksmiths are, where it's a lot of muscle on top and not so much down below. He's almost lean with muscle. You can see there are scars on his hands and up his forearms, up and under the robes there. And there's another scar along the side of his neck under his ear. Being a father to the dwarves, we sometimes as children disappoint our fathers, but that is no reason for them to abandon us. They do not, actually. You know, sometimes a child needs to be disciplined, but that doesn't mean that they are loved any less. Your friend here was left. I was myself when I was younger, a runaway from my family. And it took my experiences away from them to encourage me to come back and seek amends. But I would have had a harder time with it if I hadn't had people to tell me that I was doing the wrong thing. Have you told your friend that they're perhaps not making good decisions?
This sounds like terrible advice to me. Like, and how to help Tavini.
Mm. I could tell he's trying. But
this... I think if you knew my friend, you would know that discipline would not be the correct course of action.
Oh, when I say discipline, I mean that more as, runaways have to pay a... I'm really bad at this.
It is okay to admit that you don't know.
He plants his hands on his hips and blows out his eye. No, but a priest would... I'm really trying my best here.
It is okay. And with time comes experience.
This is awesome.
Really, you think so?
Just nod.
And what is your friend's experience? And he seems now very keenly interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, no. He's literally like fucking preaching to the preacher. I love it. Start a religion.
She was very devout to Moradin, but was pushed into a corner and felt she had no other way, no other course of action.
Would it be correct to say that maybe she was misled?
Coerced.
Coerced? Oh, that's worse.
Through many factors. I think Dreamer's getting like a little bit like looking off to the side and just like thinking to himself at this point.
So this is not so much a case as I had thought of someone rambunctious, maybe leading a life they shouldn't, needing perhaps a bit of discipline in their lives to get back on track. This is someone who needs fatherly advice and help.
Yes, and forgiveness.
Oh, a father's always willing to forgive. Goodness knows, Morden forgave me.
And Dreamer will look back to the acolytes like, thank you. This has been enlightening.
I'm just glad I was able to help in the... Do I help?
In a way.
Well, I hope that you are able to help your friend.
Who are the priests here?
Oh, they're followers of Moradin. What do you mean?
What's their name? Are they here?
Yes, there's a number of them. You've got Hamison over there, and he starts pointing and naming different dwarves throughout the room that, in addition to the simple robes that he's wearing and the amulet to Moradin, their robes seem a little more decorative. If you're looking to talk to the lead priest here, well, that unfortunately is not something I can just arrange at a moment's notice.
Who would that be if I do have a chance to meet them?
Yeah, let me pull, see if I have their name on hand.
I'm sorry. Damn
no,
it.
No, it's okay. Because like I had a couple of people planned out, but no, that's fine. Oh, that would be Udrek Gravelbelt.
Udrek Gravelbelt.
Cool name.
Udrek.
Perhaps instead of me speaking to my friend, perhaps I can bring her here. to speak with one of the priests or Uldrak.
Yeah, Father Uldrak. Ask them to come by sometime if they will.
Dreamer nods.
Was there anything else I could help you with?
Do you have any craftsmen that work with wood, specifically?
Yes, though Moradin is the father of the forge. We teach a variety of crafts here. You'll want that wing. And he points in the direction that people have been... You've seen people going into the left-hand side of the temple complex, where there wasn't the sound of forges ongoing. And seems like they divide the wings into those learning metalsmithing and those who don't want a headache.
Thank you very much. And I'll make my way towards that wing next.
Yeah. Now, exploring that wing, you find, in addition to a variety of small classrooms, where small groups of dwarves are being taught in an intimate setting, everything from weaving to tailoring, you know, small crafts work. There's a larger hall where people are being taught how to work on heavy machinery. There's a wing for carpenters, which would probably be the place that you want to go.
Yeah, I'll just poke my head in.
So heading there, you're immediately hit by the sound of wooden mallets striking nails, the sounds of sawing, the scent. Oh, well, I can't say scent because you don't have a nose. If you had a nose, the scent of sawdust and sap in the air. Maybe a bit of burnt wood, too, for detail work. But what strikes you is the quiet of this place. Like, yeah, there is the sound of some crafts work ongoing, but it isn't as raucous as it was in the craft shop that you had visited earlier with your friends. All the chatter here seems to be kept at a respectful level, with dwarves putting their heads together to speak quietly to one another so as not to disturb everyone else's communion with their god of forging and crafts. No one really pays you any attention when you poke your head at the door.
Is there like a spot to sit somewhere?
Let's say your eye is drawn to a selection of stools, whether they're stools that people are currently making or using. There are a couple that are empty. You can just plant yourself anywhere.
Yep, I'll politely take a seat and wait for someone to take notice and just observe.
In that case, go ahead and roll me a insight check.
You want me to roll some fucking insight?
Hells yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Show them how it's done.
22?
Hells yeah.
Okay. Well, as you are sort of sitting and watching, half an hour passes, and then an hour comes, and no one's really paying you any attention. It's not like people are deliberately ignoring you. It's just they kind of glance over, see you sitting there, and then just get back to their work. And it isn't until about an hour has passed that you finally catch on to what appears to be a younger dwarf, probably in his teens, with a new beard growing in, who is at a station that's over your shoulder, which is why it takes you so long to notice him. But you catch someone hovering just outside of your peripheral vision who seems very keen on studying you.
Dreamer slowly turns his head.
Creepily.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm alright. Okay, that was going to be stupid. I was going to ask if you're real.
Am I? Well,
what I mean is, what are you?
I am a Warforged.
What's that?
I was made by someone. I'm made of wood and metal and other bits. I can think. I can speak. I do a little bit of magic.
Wow. Can you do some magic?
Yeah, I'll just do a little druid craft in my palm. Just like make a little flower bloom.
As you do that, you see that you've blown this young dwarf's mind. And he just kind of seems thunderstruck for a moment before saying, "You know, I see people make things all the time, but I don't see them make living things."
I don't think a lot of people can do it.
Is it something you teach?
I don't know how I was made.
Well, that's not really the same as teaching someone.
I couldn't teach you because I don't know how.
He seems pretty disappointed by that.
Is he working on, like, any project?
Looking at the table that he's currently at, you can see that he seems to have been carving what looks like a toy hammer, but it's pretty shoddily made. I would say with your insight, you get the vibe, maybe he's not that invested into the project.
Hmm.
I'm NORAD.
NORAD?
NORAD.
All right.
And he looks at you and nods his head like he's waiting for your name.
My name is Dreamer.
Well, that's a cool name.
Thanks. I'll look at the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your current project?
Yeah, you know, there's a class of a couple of us, and we're all making hammers. It's, you know, everyone does the same project, so that, like, we learn the basics.
Do you make stuff in your free time?
Roll me a persuasion check.
Persuasion?
Yeah, he's looking a little shifty at that question.
16.
Nice.
16. He leans in. Sometimes I sneak in here when I'm not supposed to be. And I work on a little something.
I'll lean in. What do you work on?
Work on a little something. Oh, I'll do a little something something.
And he seems to hem for a moment. And he goes back to his workstation and he pulls open a drawer and he takes something wooden out and he tucks it into his chest as he carries it over to you. And showing you seems to be in the process of carving a bird, but in a way that, like, you can tell that this person has never really actually seen a bird outside of maybe a drawing or two.
The approximation of a bird.
The approximation of a bird. I've never, you know, I see them in books and stuff, but, like, you know, I haven't really gone outside.
Hmm.
He's adorable.
Yeah, he really is.
I was about to ask this kid to make me some armor.
Hells yeah.
Would you know if anyone would be able to help me with a little project?
Oh, well, if it's not a hammer, I could help you. Maybe. What do you want to do?
So, Dreamer is going to take off his, like, backpack, his, like, cold weather gear, and is going to begin the process of taking off his armor. Air quotes.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, because Warforged can incorporate their armor.
Mm-hmm. And all of the bits that are the metal pieces of armor that are on him, he will take them off and put them on the table. And, like, being in the cold and wet, like, a lot of these pieces are so brittle and rusty that, like, there's just like a, like, he plops a piece down on the table and a bunch of rust falls off.
Oh, I don't work in metal.
I don't want metal. I want these in wood.
Oh, that's a little beyond my, well, I say a little, that's I can't do that. But I can take it to somebody that can. And then the same size?
Yes, although something a little tougher, ideally.
Oh. Do you want magic?
Magic would be cool.
Yeah. I know some of the priests here, they work and they do spells. I don't know. Wow. You probably want to talk to him for that.
To him?
And he points over your shoulder to where, indeed, there is a priest who's currently leaning over a table talking about a woodworking project with somebody across the room.
Could you introduce me?
I don't know
me?
What all it would need. Yeah, yeah. He takes your hand and starts tugging on you, making you follow across the room.
I will, like, scoop up the pieces that I took off and carry them over with me as well.
Father Dederum. He interrupts by, like, tugging on the priest's robes. I found a project to work on. And this bespectacled. Did I say it right that time, Ethan?
Yes, you did. Nailed it.
Bespectacled.
Couple more times.
Yeah.
You got this.
Bespectacled.
Nope. Lost it.
Bespectacled dwarf. With a bald head and a bald chin. Shocking, I know. Turns to you and peers over a bulbous nose with a pair of small glasses on his face. Oh, a warforged. Oh, that's exciting.
Hello.
Nora, you said you wanted armor pieces made?
Yes, I'll present the pieces that I do have in metal, but something tougher.
He doesn't take them from you, but motions for you to place them onto the work table and kind of leans over to peer at these very rusted bits of metal. We could certainly carve something that would be comparable to these. Wouldn't quite be so strong, though. And then Nora chimes in, oh, but he wanted them enchanted. Oh, is that so? Enchanting's an expensive... It's possible, but it's an expensive process. Did you even know what you wanted out of this? What's your budget look like?
I think since I took the tentacle rod, I would have brought the equivalent of 1,500 gold.
So you know, we're not a craft shop. We're not. Well, I mean, we are a craft shop. We're not going to charge you an exorbitant rate. We only ask for donations to enable our people to practice Morden's crafts. You're looking to have this enchanted. I could make it stronger for you for 500 gold.
Are we talking the wooden armor that you would make for me? You would enchant that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. That would work for me.
All right. Now that's... If you're looking for it to be a little more protective, if there's anything else you wanted done to it, now that would be another donation, depending on your needs.
No, I think just the extra protection, for now.
All right. Well, it'll be a day for the carving and another for the enchanting. We're basing them off of these pieces. They fit well?
Yes, and Dreamer will quickly go through, like, the... Like, all of the points where the armor attaches, so, like, they know exactly how, because I imagine some of the pieces broke off when I put them down.
Yeah, so Father Dederim, he's not only, like, seems to be taking note of all the connections and everything that would need to be done to make it fit nicely. He also pauses you for a moment and urges Norad to go and fetch some drawing paper. And starts guiding the boy on the craft table in front of him to how to sketch schematics for such a piece. So it takes a little longer for you to detail everything because you're asked to repeat things and to clarify for the boy's sake. But, you know, eventually the priest stands up a little straighter from leaning over Norad. And yeah, 2 days and we could have this piece made for you. At that time, we'll accept your donation.
I'm sure me and my companions can make the time to stay.
No, we're leaving immediately.
Because what, it's going to be 3 days.
Your creation still has 2 days.
I'm just kidding.
If you don't want your lance.
I don't need it anymore. Kidding. No.
Good. Get the fuck out of here.
Atta girl.
Now, and this is the priest speaking. To need such armor, are you and your friends going into harm?
Very likely, yes.
Now, if you need scrolls of any kind, I'm sure that some of our acolytes are working on something you might take with you for further donations. You have anyone that could read the clerical works of Morden?
Yes.
Excellent. I'll have some prepared for you the next time you come by. If any catch your eye, then we can talk about a donation then.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Is there anything else you want to do while you're here?
Nope. I go collect the rest of my things, And for like the first time in a long time, the party's gonna see Dreamer without like his metal bits and like his faceplate.
Ah!
Ooh, your face is gone.
It's okay.
No, it's not okay.
No, it's okay.
Who took your face? Where did he go?
Yeah. Point of interaction.
I gave it to a priest.
Did you join a cult?
No.
Did you start a cult?
They're making me some armor.
Oh.
Oh, so it was on purpose.
Indeed.
You have to start open with that.
I think he kinda did. Like, he said it like 4 times that it was alright. I think that was his version of it. Yeah, you think at this point we would learn how to speak Dreamer better, but apparently not.
Well, we don't listen, so...
Ah, that's what it is. It's the listening part.
Shut up, you're not supposed to agree. No. Dick.
Is this like the new you? This is what you're going to go all natural. Which is funny, because like I went the opposite. He's like fucking in all this armor and shit at this point. It's just like, I got a full set of plate and you're taking all the metal bits off, eh?
Yeah, it's about time.
It's about damn time.
Thank you, Josie, for those names.
Yeah, no problem. For people listening, I wrote them into our chat. Father Dederum, NORAD Coin Gift, Acolyte Corinth, who's the first guy that you spoke to, and Father Udrak Gravelbelt, which is the one that you wanted Tavini to speak to.
Mm. Yeah, those names are much better than what I would have said. They would have been like Flippy Doo Von Stickenduck and fucking
and Bob Smith.
Yeah. And Bob Smith.
Nanya Bossness.
Yeah. And his best friend Hot Dog.
Good old Hot Dog.
Oh, classic Bob Smith and Hot Dog.
That's a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, Bob and the
Smith and Hot
Bob
Dog.
And the Dog.
Bob and the Dog. God damn it, Hot Dog, you're a good cop.
You're a loose cannon, but you get the job done.
Oh, we're getting into Seth MacCluskey again.
I can't help myself.
Which is funny, because I'm not sure if we've said this on podcast yet, but I found out that fucking Brendan Mulligan does that fucking character.
Damn it.
Like, I know, and that killed me. Like, we've done that joke so many times, and I've never seen that skit before, and all of a sudden it was just like, something, and it's literally MacCluskey. They called him fucking MacCluskey, which makes me wonder if it comes from something else. Like, have we seen a movie that literally had a character named MacCluskey in it? Like, that's the only thing I can think of, because it's like, God damn it, MacCluskey.
So what are we... What's the plan?
You mean after this?
For tonight.
Oh, for tonight. I was planning on drinking some more.
Oh my god, it's from The Godfather.
Is it?
MacCluskey was a corrupt cop.
Maybe that's where I got it from. Was there that line in it?
I don't know.
Yeah. God damn it, MacCluskey. Anyways. But I was planning on drinking
Sorry
tonight.
Sorry to derail us. I had to look up the name, and I looked up cop movie MacCluskey, and the first thing that comes up is The Godfather.
I was hoping for a little more variety in the fare, but...
Like, what you thinking?
It is a dwarven valley, I suppose.
Well, what you thinking? I mean, dwarves are... I mean, don't get me wrong, heavy drinking and rowdiness is about what you're going to get, but you might find some other stuff. What you looking for?
I was talking more magic items.
Oh, yeah, no, that's probably not going to happen. But you know who probably will as we cruise back down the other way, because if we're going to head east, we're going to need to hit Kaer Denethal and Kaer Koenig. So we're probably going to have to swing through Bryn Shander to do so. So I betcha Crystal might have something up your alley.
More than just something.
Yeah, but I can't swindle her like I can everyone else.
Naked Dreamer's saucy.
She's too smart.
Aye, but... Yeah, you might not get her down on the price, but she still gets things you want. She's got to pay full price for it. Is that such a bad thing?
He just stares at you.
I forgot who
you.
I was talking to. Yep, I was gonna say. My bad. My apologies. You're absolutely correct.
It's a travesty.
I'll tell you what. I'll buy it for you, and I'll take the hit and look like the asshole.
You don't have to try to look like the asshole.
Okay. First off, fuck off right there. I was doing a nice thing for you. And yeah, you know, we gotta get you a therapist or something. This whole, like, throwing up your guard and constantly doing the negative thing. Like, that's some deep-seated shit in there, man.
Get your mom a therapist.
Ooh.
Lorian fucking stabs him through the chest with his new lance. Just fucking just impales him against the wall. Like, anyways, where are we going?
Well, she probably doesn't need one. She had a good session with me the other night, he says, and then walks away.
Oh! Trying to think of Rian with Magic Nislia for that shit. Like, just had a reaction, just be like, blah, blah, blah!
Oh, I'm kidding.
So you might try to levitate you just for funsies.
Well, I mean, we could go have dinner at the Battle Hammers.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Battlehammers. Forgot about that. Yeah, we could do that.
Why not?
By the way, Dreamer, we got invited to dinner.
Okay.
He doesn't eat.
I understand, but I thought maybe he'd... I should have expected exactly that answer. I thought there would be a little more fanfare to it. Be like, oh, interesting, who's that? But nope. Should have known. Fuck me for me that, I guess. For that, just moving on.
What does excite you? Aside from, like, plants...
shiny metal rods.
The sunrise. Going new places.
That's actually really cool.
You came
shit.
To the wrong place then.
But still, that was deep. He like even Rian kind of like leans back a little bit. It's like, that was deep.
I mean, he did drag us up that mountain to see the lights.
Oh yeah, liking a sunrise is deep. They don't write it on greeting cards or anything.
What's a greeting card?
Why are you upset, Felgrin?
I don't know.
You seem to be fired up about something. Who pissed in your Cheerios?
I should have bet more on you losing.
That's a dick move. And you should have. I lost pretty spectacularly. Wasn't my fault. You see, there was shit on the ground. I literally slipped
just
shit.
Missed opportunity, that's all. I'll get over it.
I had her. If I hadn't slipped in that shit, I'd have had her. And in the middle of it, something weird happened. I thought I had it, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, and I got pulled back, but then I doubled down and I was like, ah, and I pulled it. But it was weird.
Yeah,
it felt,
weird.
It was very weird. I don't know what caused it, but
these things,
never felt that before.
These things happen.
I guess. You're right.
Anyway. Dinner!
That's how we
fucking Felgrin did it. Just fucking like sidewipe like it's fucking Star Wars.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna sideswipe and we cut to the lot of you standing before a very ornate door.